that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that old wheel has rolled around again, and it is February 4th, 2012, and it's Coffee with the Wranglers. But I'm the only one in the office, so we got Jason down there in LaPorte. Are you there, Jason?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's good to hear. And Richard, out west a little bit. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
All right. Hey, if one of you guys would open up with prayer, maybe Jason, why don't you open up with prayer? And I'm gonna get the ramrod on the line here. So.
Yeah, he just called me and said, "Has Kyle called you yet?" I said, "Yeah, I think he's trying to call you right now."
All right, I'll call him.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. I ask that you guide us and direct us in our thoughts. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us knowledge, give us understanding. And we just ask that you continue to guide and direct your people across this land, Father. We lift up the remnant to you and just ask, Father, that you tend to the remnant, that you see to it that they are fed, that you see to it that they are taken care of, Father, as these sicknesses and diseases are like plagues of Egypt of old all around us, Father. We ask that you look out after the remnant and see that these plagues don't come near their tent, Father. Let our enemies be the ones that are sick, unhealthy, without jobs, but let the remnant continue to rise higher and higher. We call for it to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And it is February 4th. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, Jason, I've asked, where does time go? But it goes like that big old wheel just rolling around again. And, we were able to take the weekend and come out and visit my son-in-law and daughter and that new grandson that they gave me. And so we're out here and over in Utah, and it's... I think a little better weather than there at the ranch. I understand you guys got a little bit of snow the last day or two.
Yeah, we got about 15 inches so far.
Wow.
We've only got about four up at the ranch, and but it's cold. It's like 2 degrees here when I pulled up this morning. Mm-hmm. And we do have John with us, too. You there, John?
Yes, sir. Good morning, man.
So we're all four here.
How'd you turn John up a little bit and turn Richard down a little bit?
Well, they're both on blue.
Oh.
So that might be a little tough. But John can speak up and Richard can speak down. How's that?
I'll do it. I'll speak up, but Richard, I can't hardly hear Richard.
You don't say nothing worth listening to. I can say that now when he's not here, so.
About eight inches of snow down here, I guess.
It was a big difference between the drive out last night, you know, which was almost dark, and then the drive back this morning. I figured it'd take about the same amount of time, but a little bit of blowing happened last night, and the roads were slick this morning, to say the least. But, so I almost didn't get out here in time. Sorry about the delay there, John.
No problem.
And then I had a wrong digit written down. But how are you guys doing down there?
John? Doing good. The snow has been pretty treacherous, kind of weird. It's come down like it was a little bit warm when it first started, so it melted, and then it turned cold, and the wind blowing, and they got a layer of ice underneath the snow. And you know it when you try to stop.
Yeah, it is interesting. This, Kyle, I'm going to call you back. I got a horrible echo coming back to me, so I'll just call you back on this number.
Okay, sounds good.
Richard, I guess this is Super Bowl weekend, and I don't know that we're even going to be able to watch it over here. But, John, what are your thoughts with the Super Bowl coming up?
Did you hear that, John?
I can barely hear him.
He asked what your thoughts was of the Super Bowl coming up.
I don't care. I got something more important. I'm taking my daughters to a dance called Butterfly Kisses. That's a father-daughter dance that we've been doing every year, and it's a great bonding experience. I would highly recommend it to any father who has a daughter, because before you know it, they grow up on you.
That is true. You know, I've been thinking about that a little bit. Of course, I always kind of think about that, you know, but how Satan is such a roaring lion, you know, and he's got the Amalekites will have his traits, I guess would be the way it would go, but they do. They attack the women, the children, and, you know, they attack the weakest vessels, which is what you do in war. And, to think that we're not at war, well, that's not a good way to think, you know, because before you know it, you've been hit, you've been, you know, wounded, you've been scarred, and you might even have casualties, and it's rough, you know, to wake up and realize too late sometimes that you're in the middle of a war and you didn't know it.
Yeah, amen.
You there?
Spiritual warfare.
Are you back with us, Jason?
Yep, I'm here.
Is that better?
I can hear you good.
Yeah, I got an echo, but I'll try to deal with it.
Well, must be wet lines or something.
Well, usually everything he has to say is worth hearing twice, so a little less.
That's right.
So, Richard, how was your drive out there? Was it pretty dry?
No. You know, the weather forecast is like everything else in this world. It's not worth the paper it's written on. And the forecast was the snow was going to be east and south of Laramie, and we had snow across the entire state.
Wow! I remember we looked at the map there on the you know, computer screen, and it looked like there wasn't nothing in between here and there.
Yeah, that's right. We drove Interstate 80 across, and we had snow. We left about 9 o'clock Thursday night, and we had snow. Across the entire state, we absolutely did. But
yeah,
that was okay. We just slowed it down.
Makes it more interesting. And,
yeah, it does.
I don't know if Richard can hear me or not. Richard,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, John.
Oh, okay.
it does make it more interesting. I guess it's really interesting through Nebraska right now, and maybe it's went through a little bit of Nebraska, but I seen last night Lincoln and Omaha and that area was really getting pounded.
So, yeah, up in Evergreen they got 3 feet of snow, and that was last night, and it was still snowing, so they're probably going to end up with 4 foot out of this snowfall. And then I-70 was closed from DIA to the Kansas border pretty much all day and last night. So,
flowing. It's kind of interesting how you can go all of January with, you know, having mostly 60-degree weather, and then you hit February and you get this much snow.
Yeah. Thank God we need some moisture.
Well, out here, I don't even think. I think March usually gets hammered with some snow, you know, like this. Anyway, that's what they were saying on the news. I have only been out there. This is only my third winter, but I think we could probably expect a few more of these.
Yeah.
So how'd the show go last night, Jason? Did you?
Oh, some are a diamond, some are a stone.
Yeah, I know that.
You know the feeling. I ain't going to say which one it was, but...
we'll let the emails say that.
Yeah. I can remember when we had the furniture business going, me and Jason pulling out at 9, 10 o'clock at night with a foot of snow on the ground and nothing but snow ahead of us, and just fire up the truck, put it in four-wheel drive, and start driving on your 2,500-mile weekend.
Yeah,
those
no
were
doubt.
Interesting times. Thank the Lord we had guardian angels about us.
I know, and I think most people would think we were absolutely insane to do that. A 40-foot trailer, enclosed trailer, with in four-wheel drive and a foot of snow. Yeah, it was.
At least we were smart enough to get dually. Sure. At least we were smart enough to use a dually.
And lots of coffee, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You got your coffee in your hand, Richard, out there?
I do. One thing that they have is they have a very small pot, so you make about a cup or two and drink that down, then it's time for more. But that sure works out.
There's a group out there that don't think you should drink coffee, isn't there? Isn't that the area?
Well, they're not in this household, I can tell you that.
Well, that's good.
But there may be, yes. We talked about them a little bit. I think they call them Mormons. And yeah, the more devout, they don't drink coffee. That's for sure. So that's
what you say, morons.
I'm glad we're not in that group. That's for sure.
I wonder what they drink in the morning. They just wake up and go, and they're, you know.
I don't know.
No, it's been kind of interesting because I've spent some time out in that country, and you know, even the more devout ones, they won't drink coffee in the morning, but they'll have a Coca-Cola. And, you know, what's the point? I think a cup of coffee is far more healthier for you and better for you than Coca-Cola. And but they need their caffeine in the morning, so a lot of them get up and they'll have their Coca-Cola or their Pepsi. And I think it is.
Right.
I think it's even the Mormons that own. I can't remember if it's the Coca-Cola Corporation or if it is the Pepsi Corporation, but one of them is
Pepsi,
owned by the Mormons.
Wow.
What was it?
I think it's Pepsi.
Pepsi, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But no coffee.
Well, if it was good enough for our pastor, it's good enough for me. Coffee.
That's a good way to
look
at it.
It just ends up being the tradition of man. And aren't we warned several times, Christ himself warned us, not to go against the oracles of God by adhering to the traditions of man. And, that was one thing our pastor sure pointed out to us was, you know, what sin was. You know, sin is the transgression of the law. And if it's not the law being transgressed, it's not sin.
You know that, in fact, I just listened to an old CD, I forget what the name of it is, on one of my drives down to La Porte last week, and the pastor was bringing that out, you know, these people that follow these men that have these dreams or these visions, you know, like Joseph Smith there did, and they follow the men more than they follow God, and more devout. I mean, they're like that is their God. You know, even though they still proclaim there is a God, that's not the one they follow. They follow the man who says that he had a dream and this is how you're supposed to do things and this, you know. And it's just amazing to me that people put so much stock, you know, in the flesh and blood, you know. That's one thing to put stock in somebody who puts all their stock in God, you know,
right,
like the apostles did. You know, I mean, Christ was the cornerstone, but the apostles, as it says in the Acts, were the foundation, you know. So you want to build upon that foundation. There's nothing wrong with that. But they always had Christ as their cornerstone, you know, something to build on. And these other people with dreams and visions, you know, I mean, why would you roll the dice like that? But, you know, coming out of the church I came out of, there's lots of questions like that. So.
Amen. You know, Paul, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in verse 1, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified." That's what we stand on. And we preach him, you know, risen, just like Paul did. And a little bit later down in verse 2, he says, "So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." And that's certainly what this ministry always has relied on and continues to and will continue to in the future.
Yeah. Well, you know, Branson this year is going to be defending the faith, you know, and no matter what angle you go at defending the faith, I guarantee you the Word of God is going to be part of that angle, because there's no defending the faith if you can't open up the book and say, "See, this is it right here," you know, or "This is it," or harmonize it all, or, I mean, that's where it's, you know, I don't know who's going to bring what or what, but the message is there, I'm sure. If you're going to be defending the faith, you're going to be going back to the Word of God.
Yeah. Well, you can use the shield of faith as for defending it, but I still got the sword of the Lord in my hand.
Amen.
For the offensive part of this battle. Absolutely, and that's something that's so important to remember. It's, you know, to use the weapons that we do have available to us. And, you know, defending is just part of it. You can't win a war just defending yourself.
Right.
Well, it'd be a lopsided religion, you know, just like Pastor Peter used to say.
And that's
say.
What we have out there for the majority of the religion is a lopsided religion.
It is. It's love only. You know,
I mean, it's kind of interesting today that, you know, today, this or yesterday, I guess it was, that the Catholic Church made a big stink about some law that they were trying to pass that was making contraceptives mandatory under certain insurance programs for public workers. And, you know, the Catholic Church is going to come up and make a stink about that. Why? Because they don't need contraceptives on little boys? I mean, hello, how messed up is that?
Yep. Well, they're like defending their hypocrisies instead of the faith.
Yeah, it's a form of godliness, you know, but they deny the power thereof. I mean, that's exactly, you know, exactly what they're doing. You know, hypocrites.
They try to act like they have morals on an issue, or that they want to stand up and make a stand on something, when it's hypocrisy, when you look at the whole thing and in the whole matter of the organization.
Yeah, it's like what Planned Parenthood does, too. They disguise themselves as trying to help young women, but in reality, all they are is an abortion mill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's one image that they portray to the people, and they got a completely different plan that they're trying to execute.
You know, when I see, you ever see the Pope when all the people travel over there and they all gather around? I mean, there's 100,000 people out anyway, and there's this little creepy looking guy up there. You know, I mean, it is just like the Emperor in Star Wars. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, there's the.
I think he watched Star Wars too many times too, because it looks like he got his dress from the movie or something too.
Yeah, I mean, the whole image, you know, and he never says anything that, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense, you know, but they all act like, you know, he, well, they treat him like a god, obviously. But it's just, you know, it's like an emperor. It's like they all want to bow down and kiss his robe, and there he really basically stands for perverseness, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It's just disgusting to me. Go ahead.
Every time he speaks, he sounds like Jabba the Hutt to me.
Yeah, I know.
I must not be educated enough to understand him.
Yeah, me either.
Another interesting thing that went on this week that was, you know, we talk about a lot of the stuff that's going on that people don't know about, but there's also, you know, we're making advances in different areas, and, you know, any victory, you know, is we gotta claim it as a victory. This week, farmers issued a lawsuit against the Monsanto Corporation for widespread genetic manipulation. And that was huge, because I believe it's the first time that they've ever got something filed against the Monsanto Corporation, which is kind of a big deal. You know, 98% of the, or 93 to 95% of the soybeans here in the United States are genetically modified right now. Well, the Organic and Sustainable Farmers Association put together this lawsuit for destroying the organic side of crops, and they got it filed. Judge decided to go ahead and see the case, and it looks like they got a good chance of bringing, having an effect of bringing down this Monsanto Corporation. You know, this Monsanto Corporation, it's a giant. It's not just here in the United States, but it's all over the world, and they've created pretty much an empire that is. Almost unbelievable how big it is, and how many countries it's involved in. And I was thinking about just, you know, the David and Goliath story. You know, I mean, here, you know, you got a giant, and the Lord used a shepherd boy to bring it down. You know, this is a giant corporation, but it can still be brought down. It can be brought down through faith. And, you know, it's one of those things that we've got to, you know, I think we're coming into the times where we've been taught so much on faith, and now it's time that people are going to have to start practicing faith. It's been a weapon that's been given to us, like we talked last week, and now it's going to be the time to practice it, to use it. And I think we're going to see miracles in the future because people are going to tap into that power of faith. You know, faith there's a law of faith, and it overrides other laws. And if we can latch on to that and tap into that and use it, we're unstoppable as a people.
Yeah, I was speaking to an Acres of Diamond man this week, and he had talked to Pastor about this in the past, but I think it's a great idea. If we can get, 100,000 people across this country to set their phone alarms at noon, and at noon, everybody say the Lord's Prayer at one point. Can you imagine the effect that would have on the country?
Yeah, you can look back in the history of this country and see the effect it had, because up until 1963, you had, you know, usually at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you had all the school children praying. And, you know, up until that point, the country was a lot more blessed than it is today. And today at 8 o'clock in the morning, you've still got school children walking through metal detectors trying to get into school.
Yeah. Can you speak up at all, Richard? Or?
Well, I didn't want to blow out the other guys. I know sometimes it's hard.
Is it real loud for you guys?
We're kind of on the same line there at the office to, you know, for it to get through.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what it is, John, but you guys are both reading about the same on the monitor, so just something coming through on yours ain't quite there.
Okay.
But yeah, you guys are right, and Jason, like you're talking about, you know, Gideon warriors or David's mighty men, because most of the populace, even most of the real Christian populace, unfortunately, they're not going to wake up and start using their faith until the enemy forces them into it, you know. But the Gideon Elite or David's Mighty Men or whatever, we, you know, if you're going to be in that, we need to start using that, you know, and start, you know, bring it into past, you know, or bring it into present, at least, the prophecies that are told, and we are supposed to be doing mighty works, you know. That's the way I see it, anyway.
Absolutely. It was another kind of story that was kind of, I don't know, it's unrelated, but here on this show, you never know where you're going to go. But
amen.
The FBI drug squad used a chainsaw to invade the wrong apartment.
Yeah,
and I read that this morning, and I thought, boy, they're lucky they didn't try to come into the wrong house over here. Because if somebody was trying to come through my house with a chainsaw, they'd end up pump full of lead.
Yeah.
Was there anybody?
It'd be your fault too, I'm sure.
Was there anybody
probably
home?
I don't know.
That would be something. Sitting
can
there.
You imagine waking up though to a chainsaw? Somebody cutting your trying to cut down your door.
No.
Do you see that Abomination was trying to tell the American people that he's Christian and that I don't know. I think he even used the name Jesus. So praise God, he's going to pay for that.
You don't think he's a Christian?
I'm pretty sure he's not, but
yeah, he's kind of a Marxist Muslim.
You think?
Monkey.
Yeah. Well, do you see what's going on in Georgia? That's kind of interesting. Not that it really matters anything what's going on in the world, but since we're talking about it.
That is interesting. That's very interesting. You know, that
yeah,
can
why don't
have
you talk
a
about it, big... Go ahead. No, you know more about it. Go for it.
Well, it just it's interesting because they did have the, I didn't think anything was going to come of it, but they actually had the court date, and that court date was to prove that Obama was not a natural born citizen. And the outcome of the trial was Obama is not a natural born citizen, and because your mother and your father, in order to be a natural born citizen of the United States of America, you have to, your mother and your father have to be U.S. citizens when you're born. And his father had a Kenyan passport at the time, and his mother, they're saying she was, but his father wasn't. And that's if they can even prove that, you know, the Social Security number that they gave him, for instance, came from... Go ahead.
You know what's really neat about that is he witnessed against himself in his own book, Dreams of My Father, because in his own book, he totally outlaid that his father was born in Kenya. See what I'm saying? So they actually
right.
used his book against him.
They did, and wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't...
He can't even pass the ECU check. The President of the United States, if they run his Social Security number, he can't pass this ECU check that they run for federal employees.
Yeah,
and that's huge, too. That's
Social
one
Security
of the things
number
that really
came back
caught
from
the...
somebody that was born in 1873.
Yeah, 1890, I think, in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of
neat. But, you know, guys, I think it's going to be just like Kyle mentioned, where, the majority of the people don't care, you know. And the people, I think, are that way right now. You do have you've got your birthers out there, you've got your right-wingers, you do have your Christians that do care. But I think the majority of them, so what? Don't you think it's interesting this is coming out right here before Super Bowl? You know, Super Bowl is going to be huge. And, you know, I bet you a dime to a donut that if you were to poll the people, that they could tell you more about the Super Bowl than about, you know, the eligibility requirements that our president lacks.
Yeah.
And it's just
well,
an apathy.
They've done a good job
people.
Dumbing down our students. I was listening to a thing on the
yes.
radio the other day, and they were polling these high school students, and they asked, you know, which war was it that gained us our independence? And some people are saying the Korean War, and I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, some of the questions they're asking them, what two countries border the United States, you know, and they're, you know, the answers are just phenomenal, and they're just making fun of how they,
they've done a good job of removing our history from our youth.
Well, that's what the enemy does. They change the history, they change the past, so that they can change the future.
Yeah. Well, they were even saying that most people wouldn't even, like you said, Richard, most people think the Constitution is not valid anymore, and what difference does it make? You know, this is the new world. Everyone's the same. You know, it doesn't matter if he's a natural-born citizen or not, you know?
Well, and they're going to care because, you know, the crazy thing is these other presidential candidates, I thought one of them would actually get up there and there'd be somebody that would appear to look like they're worth voting for, and all of them are just horrible.
Yeah, it's set up.
And there's a good chance Obama could get in for a second term, and if he gets in for a second term, there's no stopping him. There's no telling what he's going to do in the second term.
Yeah, especially in the first couple of years. Well, actually, he doesn't have anything to lose, though. The whole
he don't have
years.
Anything to lose.
Right now, he's back down in the last year or so. If you look at what he started, remember when he first got into office, what he started trying to do, but it doesn't matter. God's in control. And, you know, the thing, you get a little bit of
royal hope. That's what it boils down to.
You get a ray of hope when you see this trial going on, you know, and the judges actually found the president of the United States in contempt, and you know, we need to pray for that judge too, if it's not just another scam. But the thing I keep remembering is that we reap what we sow as a nation, and we definitely haven't turned from our wicked ways and cried out to God. So I don't see us being delivered anytime soon from this evil regime, you know.
No, that's not going to happen, you know. Not till the end of the age happens, because that's just the way it works. Because I always think, let's don't keep plugging the holes, you know. Let's just let it fall apart. But at the same time, maybe there's some of the remnant that he hasn't called yet, that he hasn't chosen yet, that aren't prepared. So anyway, I just, you know, things are gonna, you know, it's stupid to keep fixing the dike when it's gonna go. But at the same time, God does have a purpose, like you guys are saying. He's in control. His timing, you know, is his timing. You know, we can still hasten the day, but with those thoughts in mind that, you know, maybe there's a reason why it hasn't happened yet.
Well, and everybody says, you know, talks about how much worse things gotta get. How much worse do they have to get? I mean, you know, you look at it, we're seeing these abominations all across this land. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yep.
I think things are pretty bad out there, but, you know, why not, you know, how bad does the Lord see that it has to get before he can change it? I mean, he can change it at the snap of his fingers.
Right.
And, you know, there is, you know, there's going to be prophecy fulfilled. And we don't know when that time is. We gotta continue to do our part to see to it that we can take a part in prophecy. And we can be part of those people that do bring prophecy to pass. You know,
right.
It's not just, oh, well, we'll just wait on the Lord.
Along with what Kyle was saying, to prepare, you know, the remnant that hasn't been called yet, it's not about the food preparation and ammo, although those are good ideas. It's about preparing your soul by being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So,
yeah, and that's,
you know,
that's been
the
happening.
Most important thing you can do.
I mean, we've had, Richard, we've had in the last week, I don't know, three or four people calling, and a couple I think were successful and got the job done. But there is a calling out there right now. There is something going on out there that's moving people to that watery grave of baptism, you know, and becoming part of the body of Christ. And haven't you noticed that, Richard?
I have, and that's a good thing. Yeah, we had a man call this week, and you know, we told him to look for a local Church of Christ because he's on the other side of the country. He called back an hour later and had an appointment with the pastor there to get baptized. And that's sure encouraging to me.
As long as he does it right.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we've always told people. We learned that from our pastor, was that normally a Church of Christ will baptize properly. And so, you know, if you're able to come out to our church, let us know. We'd be glad to baptize you. If, you know, we'll be baptizing in Branson. And if you're back on the East Coast or way up north somewhere or down south, call us. You know, first look for a Church of Christ. They normally will baptize properly, and that is according to Acts 2:38. You know, for the remission of sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that is the name of Jesus Christ, by full immersion, for the remission of sins. It's really as simple as that. Paul's second letter to Timothy says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. Now, but you can take the opposite of that. If we have not died with him, we will not live with him, I think can hold true as well. And the only way to die with Christ is to be baptized. And you're buried in the watery grave of baptism. And you know, the word tells us, if we died with him, and that's the Second Timothy 2:11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. But if that's true, then the opposite is true as well. And that is, if we have not died with him, we will not live with him. And people need to realize that. This Judeo-Christian mantra of just believe on the Lord and you'll be saved is not complete. It is not a complete gospel.
That's a fact. And just ignore it, the little card they give you afterwards. I mean, you can fill it out. I mean, they always want you to start joining their church and stuff, but like Richard says, they usually do teach it right and do it right, but then afterwards they want to give you a little card and have you sign up and be on their mailing list and that
kind of thing. And indoctrinate you with.
Yeah. But you can just ignore that, you know.
Yep. Well, it's just, you know, we're in those days. We're in that time that, again, just the next page over in Second Timothy, you know, that it says in verse 4 or chapter 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And that's just what, you know, we've done. The myth of believe only. The myth of all roads lead to heaven. You know, it's a myth. The myth that you can sin and get by. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's as true today as it was when it was written 2,000 years ago. The wages of sin is death. And that sin is pleasurable for a season. But just keep on sinning, and those wages will be paid eventually. That's for sure.
Amen to that.
I was reading in Psalms 27 this morning, and just kind of an encouraging scripture. It was, at least for me, starting in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Through a host encamp me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." And that's one thing that our people need to remember, is to be confident. To be confident, not to fear. You know, the Lord's in control. And when you're baptized into Christ, you can take hold of all these promises that have been given to us in the Word of God. Before you've been baptized and added to that Lamb's Book of Life, you don't have title to the promises that are here for us. But when you do, you can be confident. You don't need to have the fear. And remember who's in control. You know, the Lord's in control, and we've got Jesus on our side, and that's all we need.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I was reading in
Jason, I've got marked in my Bible how that Psalms 27 ends. And verse 13 and 14 says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. And, you know, those storms in life come, and I can sure say that in my life, and I've seen it, I think we all saw it in the Lord, in the pastor's life, you know, that we would have despaired unless we had believed that we would see the goodness of the Lord. And haven't we seen that as individuals, as families, as members of our church? We've seen the goodness of the Lord and how He is in control, even when, you know, all seems lost, and He just takes care of problems and takes care of issues like nobody else can.
Romans 8:28.
Absolutely. And that, you know, it's one of those things that there's trials, there's times that are tough. And
yes.
You know, I remember years ago here, in when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and sometimes that's just what you got to do. You got to get going. You know, there's times where, you know, people, you know, they feel like they get down in a rut, and then they you know, can't get out, whether it's financial or whatever, family issues, whatever they're dealing with. But when you're down in that rut, that's all you see a lot of times, is that you're down in the bottom of the rut and you don't see any way to get out. There's only one way to get out, and that's just, you know, one step at a time. And, you know, we have this. If we can take hold of that, and I've seen people get down in the rut and just stay there because,
yes,
you know, they don't want to take the effort to climb out. Well, it's tough. It's hard. Well, it might be, but the only way it's going to get easier is if you endure and get through it. And, you know, endurance has, our people need endurance right now. And I know that there's been,
yes,
trial-y fires in my life, and I've needed endurance, and I've prayed for it. You know, Lord, give me endurance. Give me the strength to endure what I'm going through. And it's amazing how much that'll help. If you just ask, He'll give it to you. But people right now, they're struggling with, they don't have the endurance, they don't have the courage, and they don't have the will to fight. And, you know, those are the things that they really need right now in the times that we're living in. Because if you have that, if you have the endurance, if you have the courage, and if you have the will to get out and to win, you can do so much.
Yep. Amen. I was looking in Proverbs 3, and I have highlighted in my Bible 5-10, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights. But, you know, that's what I have highlighted, but it seems like the whole book of Proverbs, I'd just as soon have it printed in yellow. Because it'd be a lot easier than highlighting the whole thing.
Yeah, except for those passages that might be talking about yourself.
You mean like most of them? Yeah.
To go along with that, in Romans 8, 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, that's great.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And you know, that's our desire, is that the people out there have that in their life. That the people out there, the remnant, understand that Jesus Christ is a very present help right now.
now, today, on the, what is it, the 4th day of February, right now, you know, the trials that will come today, you have to have your life right and have him as the master of your life, according to the word, to have what this talks about. Hosea 6 says, come, let us return to the Lord. And, you know, there's many times out there that that's just what people need to do.
Yeah.
You know, the Judeo-Christian churches, they almost make you sick with it, you know, with their altar calls and just raise your hand, brother, and we'll come and say the sinner's prayer with you and you're taken care of. No, that's not true, but you do have to have your the way they put it, your life right with God. You do need to understand that we need to turn away from our ways, and as Hosea 6:1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. We have to, and those of us that have, you have those things. That very verse from Romans, Kyle, you know, once you do that, then you realize that nothing, when you've been obedient to God, nothing can separate you from that.
Yeah, nothing should. I mean, quit using bubble gum to fill the holes in the boat. You know, I mean, all these depressed people out there, you know, depression is a huge thing out there. And instead of turning towards the Lord, which would actually heal their problems, they turn towards depression, popping whatever into their mouth that makes them more depressed. You know, if you watch commercials, it's just ridiculous. And we've talked about this before, and I know the pastors laughed about it. You know, I mean, the symptoms, the side effects of these depression pills are suicide. I mean, that's one of the side effects. I mean, it's just ridiculous out there, you know, and people will wake up, you know, I mean, but hopefully it's just not going to be after it's too late.
Well, one anti-depression pill a person can do is read Proverbs 31:25 and say it aloud. I know it works for me. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And if I stop and I say that outright loud, it makes me smile. And I don't know if it has this effect on other people or not, but just try it. Right now, say, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And if that don't put a smile on your face, then I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with me, maybe there's something wrong with you, but it works for me. We've got a future worth smiling at.
Oh yeah. I mean, like Pastor said, I always wanted to live through some of those stories that are in the Bible. How great it would have been in that days. We might be in something like that. You know, I mean, we might be living in the greatest story of them all. You know, seeing the things that we might see coming up, and hopefully we are, you know, but if we're not, but we could be living in one of those biblical stories like the Red Sea predicament but like Lot walking out and as the city is just being destroyed behind him, you know, loses his wife, you know, I mean, turning into a pillar of salt or whatever. I mean, we might be going through something like that. You know, and I don't want to do it with a container full of depression pills. I want to do it with my Lord and Savior as my guide.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is time we take another drink of coffee. You know, when you're in a coffee house or a cafe or just a little dive, you know, and there's four men sitting at the table drinking coffee, sometimes they all sip at the same time and nothing gets said. Well, that happens here too.
Yeah, the more than we'd like.
Do we carry the book, The Iron Curtain Over America?
No.
We don't? Okay.
Who is that by?
John Beatty.
No, I've heard of it, but I don't think we ever carried it, or at least we don't know.
It or not. Well, and that's what we call dead air.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to mention it? Maybe people, I'm sure they could find it on Amazon or something if you have some interest.
Well, no, that's
it.
The problem is I was having a hard time finding it. I didn't know if we carried it or not. It was an old book that talked about Jewish overtaken America, and different policies and different things that were basically destructive to America. It used to be, I don't know, it used to be, I guess, a well-known book, and I couldn't find it. I didn't know if it was something that we were carrying or not. But I'll look around, see if we can find it.
Okay.
We do have, we've been having a lot of response off the news stories there at the sfawbn.com website. And we got some good stories there, so that's worth checking out. We've been keeping that updated daily. So remember to check that out. That's the right-hand column of sfawbn.com. We got a link over there from the website, sfaw.org, on the bottom right-hand side. So you might want to go there, and if you have a news story that you'd like to submit, too, that you think would be something good that we should put on there, you can always email that to me at jason@sfaw.org, and I'll go through it, and if it's something worth putting up there, we'll get it up there.
Wow, yep. Maybe I should get the internet.
Maybe you should get email. Hey, along with that,
hey, who Jason just got email here with, not how long ago?
Yeah, I know. Jason just set up an email for me, too, that we sent out, and I've got quite a few responses from people, and I'm grateful for that. And people mainly just thanking us for keeping the ministry going, for continuing to put out Pastor Peter's truths, and you know, some of those kind of bring tears to your eyes when you hear the testimonies of these people who loved our pastor all these years. And but along with what Jason was saying, keep in mind that if you have an iPad or an iPhone, which I just graduated to the 20th century and got one, it's amazing how they've set up the archives and even the live broadcast that you can listen to that on your iPhone or your iPad just by clicking on that that symbol. So I'm really impressed. I told Jason, did you ever think you were going to be a computer nerd? He said no, but I guess God wanted me to be, because he sure picked up the slack there.
He does choose the weak and the foolish, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I figure if he does that, he's got a real winner here.
Well, Jason, why don't you here? I think we're coming close to the end of the program, and you probably got a better connection than I do. Why don't you invite everybody to church tomorrow and tell them the different ways they can join us?
Yeah, if you would like to join us from the La Porte Church of Christ, we will be streaming live, and you can join us from the privacy of your own home. If you have shortwave internet or satellite, we will be broadcasting live starting at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Richard's got a scriptural insight and study that he prepared for you folks out there. And after that, we're going to have a timeless message by Pastor Peters. And I think it's an encouraging, empowering message that I think people will really enjoy. And the message I want to put a plug in for last week's message as well is, if you didn't see Are They Preachers or Are They Pimps, last week was the one that we broadcast live from the La Porte Church of Christ. You really should get that message. You can go to the archives page, sfaw.org. Go to the archives page and go to last Sunday. It was just it was a powerful message that tied so much, it hit so many different angles, and it came in that hit so many different things that it is a real eye-opener for a lot of people. And even people that don't really, really know what's going on, it put a lot of things in perspective. And I've given that message out. I made a DVD of it and gave it out to several people. And I think that it's something that will wake a lot of people up if they can just, because it allows people to see what was going on then, what's going on now, and gives you a lot better understanding of it. And if you would like to order that on the DVD, we can send it to you on DVD for $10 donation. But you just go to the website and download it and pass it out, because it was a phenomenal message, and I really, really enjoyed it, listened to it, watched it several times, and think it'd help a lot of people.
Amen.
So you might want to check that out.
Well, yes, the Holy Spirit is definitely leading as Jason pulls these messages from the archives, so we're grateful for that.
That is the truth. We've got about 5 minutes left. How about some closing thoughts from everybody? Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I would just encourage everybody to read your Bible. That's where the truth comes from. If we've been pushing, you know, that at least start reading Proverbs. Today's the 4th. Read Proverbs 4. That will whet your appetite for wanting to read more. Reading in Hosea this morning, boy, if that could not have just been written today about America. So I'd encourage you to read your Bible, at least Proverbs, the day of the month, and look at Hosea. It describes us as a people right now. And thanks for joining us this morning.
John, you got anything to say?
I'd go along with what Richard says. The other thing I can say is that as you do start reading your Bible on a regular basis, it does become kind of addicting. The Lord gave us a mind to kind of live what we're reading. And I don't know, I get the old-time radio stories on XM radio. That's kind of my favorite thing. When we were driving all night, that would keep me awake. And, you know, you can picture yourself in those old westerns, but you can picture yourself in these biblical scenes, too, and it's addicting. You know, I don't know, several times just fall asleep now just reading, because I'll read till I'm so tired I can't stay awake anymore.
Yep, you're right. All right, Jason, what you got?
I would say wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from the sight of the Lord. Cease to
Amen.
Do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, and smile at the future.
That's good. All right, I'll go out with Revelations 21, 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's what I'm going to go out with. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Maybe next week we'll take phone calls, but being we had three lines tied up, that would have been awful hard today. So, all right. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yep.
God bless.
Yep.
Bye.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay high. This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake. big high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.